that is correcto. Bless His wonderful name. As Brother Paul put it, thank God for His unspeakable gift. That word unspeakable means there's not mortal tongue that can describe nor thank Him enough for what He's accomplished for us. I don't know about you, but I remember where I was. And not only where I was, but where I was going. But there was a divine intervention. I wasn't on the road to Damascus. I was on the road to hell. God came to where I was. Well, I appreciate the service this morning. Again, I want to thank God for our visitors. And I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles this morning again to the Song of Solomon as we continue our study there, preaching through this wonderful, wonderful book in the Bible. Song of Solomon, chapter number 7. And when you find that place, let's stand together. We'll read two verses of Scripture. Song of Solomon, chapter number 7. I want to read verses 5 and 6 for us in the house of God this morning. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel, and the hair of thine head like purple. The king is held in the galleries. How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love for delight. Wonderful God that we have. How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for delight. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. Our Father, we pause for just a moment this morning to thank God for His unspeakable gift. Thank You for Calvary. Thank You, Lord, for the tomb and for rising from that place that You might justify sinners. Thank You for the goodness of God in the land of the living, the blessing of God upon this place. Thank You, Lord, for the songs that we've sang and enjoyed this morning, for the fellowship that's been ours, Sunday school hour, and visitors that You've sent our way. But we desire now a heavenly visitor that would bless us this morning with Your presence, stir our hearts for revival. Give us grace that we might stand against sin and the wiles of the devil and serve You in these last days. I pray that You'll bless every family that's represented here today, meet every need in every heart. Help us to drink from great depths this morning, from streams out of the desert. Help us, I pray, O Lord, to feast upon hidden manna. And we'll thank You and praise You for the salvation of the lost, for the blessing to Your people, and for glorifying Yourself in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. If you would look at verse number 5, I'll be honest, this has been some difficult scriptures for me to try to interpret. But I want to call our attention to the last phrase of verse number 5, where Solomon said, the king is held in the galleries. And I want to try, if I can this morning, to preach for just a little while on the thought of love's strong cord. Amen. That cord that binds us unto the Lord. Amen. That great cord of love that hell holds Him bound to His everlasting covenant, and holds Him bound to those that He's come to redeem by the grace of God. Now, in these verses, Solomon continues to describe the beauty of his lovely bride. Amen. And may I say that only the groom really recognizes the beauty of his bride. Yes. I'm sure that every man in this building this morning would have to say that my bride is lovelier than your bride. Amen. My wife is the most beautiful creature in all the world. If you don't say that, God help you, man. I'm going to preach tonight instead of staying at home, huh? And so it is with our Lord. He sees within you and I a wonderful, glorious beauty that has been put there by His own wonderful, marvelous grace. May I say to you that we were nobodies and going nowhere. But God's wonderful grace divinely intervened in our life and cleaned us up and made us fit for the presence of God. And that grace is yet working in our life today to beautify us in the eyes of the beholder. I'm glad, thank God, that He sees a beauty, a glorious beauty in His church today. By the way, I've said this so many times, I want to say it again. He is coming back after a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. He's not coming back after some old haggard bride, friend. He's coming back after a glorious bride that grace has cleansed and purified and perfected in the eyes of Almighty God. Only grace could do that. And He said that the King is held there in the galleries. That I'm spellbound. He said that I, the King, I, Solomon, am spellbound. I'm overwhelmed by the beauty of my bride. I'm held there in the galleries. There's a strong cord called love, friend, that binds Him to us and us to Him. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. That's what the book says. He states there that her head is like caramel. And that's not talking about caramel candy either. It's talking about Mount Carmel. And her hair is purple. And she's not a freak like this crowd we see running around today with purple hair. And that He is absolutely overwhelmed and captivated by her beauty. Her glorious beauty has captivated the heart of Christ. I'm telling you, friend. Hey! If we could ever get a hold of that in our Baptist churches this morning, that there is a great God in heaven that loves us and has redeemed us by grace and is perfecting us and has made a place for us. He has prepared a home for us. And by the grace of God, we'll spend a honeymoon in eternity with a great God of heaven that loved us and died for us. Yea, rose again for our justification. Bless His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Somebody said, you get emotional. I was a drunk on my way to hell, dying in my own puke, but God's mercy lifted me out of that sin. Praise His wonderful name. I feel pretty good this morning. He is bound to His bride, the church. By love's strong cord. He said, the King is held. I cannot get away. I'm captivated by your beauty. Held in the galleries. Woo-wee. And I'd like to preach on those galleries. They're a water course. They're a water course that's in the hair that leads to the head. If I know anything at all about what He's trying to tell us there, He's saying, I am held in the galleries. I'm held in the water course, in the hair that leads to your head. In other words, friend, He's just saying, the water of the Word of God and the covenant that I've made and the promises that I've given holds me, it binds me to you for the love that I've set upon you. That's right. You know, for Him to stop loving us, He'd have to deny His own Word. He'd have to deny the whole Bible. And He shall not deny it. For he says that my word is forever settled in heaven. Not one jot nor tittle from that book will ever pass away till all of it be fulfilled, friend. Even John 3:16. Woo! That God loved the world and sent his Son into the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Now her head being like Carmel may be in reference to the height that she's been elevated to. Carmel was a high mountain. And it may refer to that height that she has been elevated to. You ever consider where Christ has lifted you from? And to the high place in life that he has exalted us to by his marvelous grace. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, even when we were dead in sins, has he quickened us together with Christ. Can you get a hold of that? When you were nobody, when you were dead in your sin, when you were wicked and vile and wretched and miserable and ugly and ungodly, Christ came to you in the field where you were polluted in your own blood and cried, live, and give you life and quicken you together with him. And then if that wasn't enough, and hath raised us up together. Hath raised us up together. And then after raising us, he made us sit back down in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For what reason, Brother Hall? That in the ages to come. That's a long time, by the way. He didn't just say the age to come. He said in the ages to come, friend. That's talking about eternity. That in the ages to come, he might show his exceeding riches of his grace in his loving kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Oh, what an elevated position. High and a lofty position. Have you ever considered what it means to be raised together with him? And I ought to stop and preach here about an hour. But what Paul is saying is that when he come up out of the grave, when God the Father resurrected him from the grave, that spiritually speaking, every man, woman, boy, and girl that have put their faith and their confidence in him was spiritually resurrected from the death, come to life in that same instant when the Son come out of the grave. Hallelujah. I feel right spiritual this morning. Amen. And then raised us up with him. And like Mephibosheth at David's table, he said, sit down with me and dine at the table of the king. How, no wonder the king is held in the gallery. We're dining, friends, spiritually already in heavenly places with our king. Hallelujah. Believe me now, her head like Carmel may also be referred to her fruitfulness. For the word Carmel simply means fruitful or a fruitful place. I thought about Solomon 7:12, and we ain't got there yet. He said, let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the pomegranate appear, and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my loves. There will I give thee my loves. Right there in the garden that is fruitful and flourishing, there will I give thee my loves. Whew. Make a dead Presbyterian get happy, friend. Said we're a fountain sealed. A fountain of gardens, a well of living water, and streams from Lebanon. Then that purple hair no doubt gives reference to her royalty. We're royal descendants. Isn't it an amazing thing how God can take somebody like little old Rahab, just a little harlot? Just a prostitute, friend. Oh, somebody said, now, preacher, you know God doesn't love those prostitutes and dope addicts and drunkards out there. I'm telling you that God, grace, friend, can take a prostitute that is some of the lowest come in the earth and lift her up, friend, and set her in a royal family of God. What he done with Rahab. That little old prostitute in John 4, he said, go and sin no more. Another prostitute in John 8, go and sin no more. Where are those thine accusers? Doth any man condemn thee? No man, Lord, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. What a God. Amen. Royalty, Brother Wayne. Old Brother Peter said, but ye are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. What a royal priesthood. Oh, that purple is a type of royalty, friend. I'm glad he put some shoes on my feet, friend. A ring on my finger and the best robe in the house. And I believe it was purple. Woo! A holy nation, a peculiar people. That's why these men are acting this way. They're peculiar. And I like that crowd out there. Somebody said, preacher, I don't like that. Go tell God you don't like it. For in Acts chapter number 5, friend, there was a fellow went into the house of God walking and leaping and praising God. Hey, can I pull a Brother Sammy on him? You reckon, Brother Ricky? I'm going to pull a Sammy Allen on you. I want everybody to sit still now for just a minute. Now listen carefully. Breathe in real deep. Breathe in. Go ahead. Now let it out. Now breathe in again. Let it out. Breathe in again. Let it out. Let me ask you something. Are you breathing? The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So if you don't want to praise God, drop dead, friend. Are you breathing? You know what the Holy Ghost just showed me on that? I ain't never seen it before. But he ain't just talking about breath in your lungs. Breath is a type of the Holy Ghost. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, friend. If you've got the breath of the Holy Ghost living in you, give God the praise and the glory for lifting you out of sin. That we should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Hallelujah. By these beauties, now, and I won't be long, by these beauties that are reflections of His own grace, He's held there. He's bound to us by love's strong cord. I want to say first that His love is voluntary. Nobody twisted God's arm and said, you will love sinners. You will love the lost. You will love that creation. Oh no, it's a voluntary love, friend. In my hand no price I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling. Ooh, he didn't have to love me. He could have left me to drown in my sin and die in the same and spend eternity in hell. Said in Deuteronomy 7, I've read this to you before, the Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of the people, but because the Lord loved you. He just loved you because He loved you. Nothing in you merited that love. No power could overcome Him and force His love. He just voluntarily loved us. He voluntarily went to the cross. He voluntarily laid his life down. He voluntarily rose again. He voluntarily justified you. He is voluntarily coming back again to receive us unto himself. Son, if somebody will just say amen in this place. God, help us. Now listen carefully. He was voluntarily made like us. Who made him take upon himself a robe of flesh? He voluntarily was made like a sinner. Somebody said, "Preacher, I don't believe that. You don't believe the Bible." Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made. I said he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was made in the likeness of men. Son, if you can get a hold of this, what Paul is saying, that Jesus Christ was equal with God and equal with man. Oh, yes. In the form of God and in the form of man. Woo! I'm talking about the incarnation. Somebody said, why did he do that? He was made like us that he might be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Made like us, my friend, that he might understand your hurt and your heartache and your troubles and your sorrows and those days you have the blues, those days you can't get over and have victory. He was made like you that he might enter in to your sorrows and your troubles, that he might help succor you and bring you out of them. Lord. As man, he can, boy, God, just give me this, Brother Doug. As man, he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but as God, he can deliver us from those infirmities. Hallelujah to God. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Took upon himself the form of a servant. Humbled himself. Came obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I want to say in that voluntary way, he was made like us. Just like Adam was made like Eve. You do understand that Eve was in the transgression and not Adam. And Adam looked at that bride and there was a gulf between them called sin. She had entered into death and could not cross back into life in that garden. And Adam, my friend, looked at his lovely bride and said, "Oh, you're the one that God took out of me and brought to me, and you became my wife. And now we're separated. And how I cannot bring you back." And he said, "Because I love you, Eve, I shall step over into death and be made like you are." Voluntarily he was made sin like her, friend. Now I'm here to tell you, God looked down upon the human race and saw you and I. Woo! Jesus said they've done stepped over into death and they cannot cross back. There is a great gulf that separates me from them. Now I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. He said, "Father, I love them. I'll be made like them." Get this now. Not only made like them, he said, "I'll be martyred for them." And he stepped over into death and was made like you and I made. But Miss Gwen, cheer up. Because he had something Adam didn't have. Where Adam couldn't get back, couldn't cross that gulf, couldn't cross that awful sin, there on the cross of Calvary, our second Adam that was made sin parts, not only stepped over into death, but 3 days later, friend, he grabbed you and I by the hand and carried us back out of death into the glorious light of the children of God. Woo! Hallelujah. He was made like us. He was murdered for us. He bound us by love's strong cord. Whew. Being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Came obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Not only was he made like us, martyred for us, but I want to say he's married to us. What man in his right mind would ever leave his bride, son? He's bound by love's strong cord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. Revelation 21:9 said, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. And he talked with me, saying, Come hither. I want to show you the bride. The Lamb's wife. The bride. There she is. I'm glad, thank God, I'm a spouse to Him. And He's a spouse to me. Son, I'm headed for a marriage supper in the sky. Hallelujah to God. I'm bound by love's strong cord unto my God." Anybody getting anything out of this? I hope so. I want to say that like a gentleman, He proposed to me. God have mercy on this bunch of little flip-top bottom girls that'll run around and twist their hind end trying to make out with every boy on the corner. Mona House. That's right. And by the way, guess who give us to Him? Come on in the house, children. The Father. Woo! Hallelujah. Come, you can get a hold of that. It'll make you happy now. Ain't no little girl ought to be married to no little man without Papa saying it's all right. Why do you think Daddy walks her down the aisle and presents her, huh? I won't say He proposed to me. I remember that morning, September 13, 1970. On that little old altar at Grace Baptist there in Scottsburg, when Jesus said, "Gary, will you marry me?" Yeah. And we took the vows till death do us part. That's the way it ought to be, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Till death do us part.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Well, are we going to ever have to part?" Oh, no. Because in Him there's no death. So there ain't going to be no parting, son. It's an inseparable union. We have, we're bound by love, strong part for all eternity to Him. Praise God. Huh? He proposed to me. He prepared for the funeral. He prepared me for the marriage. He gave me a pretty white wedding dress. He's got the guests. He's got all the refreshments. And we'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Father will rise to that Jewish crowd and say, "There's the Lamb's bride! The church that is purchased with His own blood, there she is." He's got the napkins and the place mats and the table all set. And son, He's going to spread a table from sky to sky. He proposed to me. He prepared me for the wedding. He planned the wedding Himself. Somebody said, "How did He do that before the foundation of the world?" It was foreordained that He should come into the world and give His life for sinners to be saved. I didn't have a thing to do with it. Now, I won't say this to you, Brother Jerome. I believe you're going to like it where the rest of them, I think, are a little sad about it. But he has picked the place for the honeymoon.
Yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah to God. No matter honeymoon, son.
Amen.
We got in a traffic jam down there the other day. There's a car over there chugging along, had a young couple in it. They just had just married, boy, across that. And there's a headed for that honeymoon suite, buddy. Are you listening to me? I told Brother Ricky, I said, that old boy's wanting this jam to break up, boys. He's anxious to kiss that little bride. Now, I'm not being ugly. I'm going to tell you something, friend. His kisses are sweeter than wine. I'm telling you, friend, they're coming a honeymoon day. Oh, yes, he can't wait. He can't wait to plant a big spiritual smooch on his bride in that honeymoon suite, buddy. Years, Brother Shelby, the 15th of January.
Amen.
Seemed like it'd been quite a while. But when I think about me and Jesus,
yes,
and all eternity, Brother Mark.
Amen.
And somebody said he's a puckering to blow the trumpet. He's a puckering to give me a big kiss, buddy.
Amen.
I said that His love is a voluntary love. I want to say, secondly, it's a victorious love. He has conquered. Now, I don't have time to go through all this, but I've got 3 points. He's conquered my enemies. He's conquered the enmity. He's conquered the evils. He's conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave. I want to read you 2 verses. Stay right with me. 2 passages. Who shall separate us from the love of God, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted for sheep, for the slaughter, nay, and all these things. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded! Listen, buddy, I'm getting ready to show you something, buddy. When God showed it to me, I turned a double back flip this morning. For I am persuaded neither death. Watch that. The very first thing. Brother Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things in heaven, nor things in the earth, nor things beneath the earth, or any other creature can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Now, here's the verse God gave me this morning. I'm telling you, I may run. He said in Solomon's Song, chapter 8 and verse 6, Brother Smith, he said, for love is strong as death. Not stronger than death. Strong as death. For love is strong as death. And look here. He said, I'm persuaded neither death. Are y'all listening to me now? Brother George, can I sit down there with you for just a minute, please? I'm tired. Besides that, I want to let you know I love you this morning.
Amen.
And you pretend like Joel, Brother George, is Christ, and I'm that saved one. I'm for love is strong as death.
Amen.
I'm persuaded neither death nor life nor principalities nor powers, things in heaven, things in earth, beneath the earth, any other creature can separate us. So who shall separate us? Not only who, what? Who will separate us? Nobody. What can separate us? Nothing. Get this now. Not even, look here. You know why we're eternally saved? You know why I believe in eternal security of the believer? Love. Strong as death. Here's death. Come on, Hall. Get away from Christ. And here's love.
Yes,
death cannot pull love.
His wonderful, marvelous love. Hallelujah. I'm not ready to go crazy in the bed, Bob.
Go ahead.
Listen now. For this reason, Christ both died and rose and resigned that he may be Lord both of the living and the dead. Miss Sue, we're saved. Ben, we're saved. Miss Ruth, we're saved. Andrew, that day when he drug you off that bar stool, that love said like a magnet.
Amen.
No, death creeped up and said, oh, but you're going to die, and that's when I'll get you.
Amen.
You're going to die, and that's when I'll get you. Jesus crept up on the other side and said, I am the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Yeah. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Yeah. Believest thou this?
Yeah.
Woo! What a great God, son. I'm telling you, bound. Thy love strong cord. Why? Love is strong.
Yeah.
It's death. He's simply saying, friend, that nothing, not even death, can separate us.
Yes, sir.
From His love. Whew. Hallelujah. He conquered my enemies, my enmity, and my evils. Vamontes victorious, He also captured my heart. It wouldn't have done much good just to whip them. He had to whip me too, friend. Woo! Son, I'm drunker than Cooter Brown. I am drunker on God than Cooter Brown this morning. Yes, sir. He captured my heart. Somebody said, where do you get that? I'm glad you asked. I am my beloved's. He is mine. Son, I'm feeling pretty good right now. Don't nobody get in my way. I'm telling you, like a freight train, I'm subject. Brother Cater, I am my beloved's, and my beloved's mine. Praise God. Hey, hallelujah. He captured my heart. I'm not going to, pardon the expression, I'm not going to whore around on him. I don't intend to commit adultery. Somebody said, can you lose it? How can if death can't even separate me? I'm like that preacher said down there today. When I found him, son, I found all I needed. I'm well satisfied, son. I tried once, it didn't work. I tried long, found out it was against me. I found tried baptism, found out baptism couldn't wash away diddly squat. But I met Jesus. Oh, what a Savior. Brother Shelby, I'm drunk this morning, buddy. How God! I wish the first church had come down here this morning. I'm telling what they might say. You might know the very morning we don't go live on the air, God kicks it from out of the traces. But ain't that like God? He's a-doing business this morning in the secret chamber! Not only is His love voluntary and victorious, it's verbal. He didn't just sit there and say, guess whether I love you or not. Does your wife have to guess whether you love her, men? Do you ever look her in her face and say, sweetheart, I love you?
Amen.
He's spoken in the Scriptures.
Amen.
It's verbal. He said in Solomon 7:6, how fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for the lights. Spoke it!
Yeah.
He didn't just pretend like he loved me. He told me he loved me. Then he died because he loved me. Then he rose because he loved me. He left a book that tells me that he loves me. And he's coming again because he loves me. He's spoken it in the scriptures. May I say, he's spoken it in the sanctuary. He brought me. Solomon 2:4. He brought me into the banqueting house. Where do you think the banqueting house is at? And his banner over me was love. He's telling you in his sanctuary this morning that he loves you and you're bound to him, and he's bound to you by a cord that's called love that even death cannot sever. We act like, bless God, mom-in-law moved in to stay.
Amen.
Y'all act like Jerome is something unusual. I'm almost persuaded that God brought him here back in 89 to keep a bunch of deadbeats out of the church.
Amen.
He gets a little loud. He gets a little loud. But if you'd get in on it, you wouldn't bother. It wouldn't bother you at all. He's spoken in the scriptures. He's spoken in the sanctuary. But he has spoken in the secret chambers of my heart. Solomon 1:4, draw me and we will run after thee. The king hath brought me. I'm going to tell y'all something. Come here, Sister Hall. Come here. Come on. And baby, I love you, okay? I won't say it in the sanctuary. I won't say it in the sanctuary. I love my wife. I'm not looking for another one, son.
Amen. Amen.
Momento, brother. Here, buckwheat. Whoa, baby! Whoa! Somebody said, you act like a nut. I want to ask you something, friend. Has he ever just pulled you off to that little solitary place where nobody else is around and got up right close to you and said, Robert, I love you. Just me and you's all cheering now, buddy. I won't say I love you.
Yes, sir, preacher.
And there's some things, Brother Doug, in them secret chambers that everybody else don't even know anything about. Some of you all saw me in my home around my wife. You'd probably run me off. You'd say he's crazy. Then she gets up and goes in one room. I go in there and sit down where she's at. So what do you want? I said, I'm going to be with you. She go in the computer room. I walk in there. I said, what are you doing, honey? Well, I'm working on Sunday school. What do you want? I just be in here where you're at.
Amen.
I like to be around my bride.
Amen.
He likes to be around his bride.
Yes.
Voluntary. Victorious, verbal. I want to say it's vigilant, son. He works at it.
Yeah.
He's always watchful. Yeah. Any little thing in our life that disrupts that love,
yeah,
he's on it fast, friend. He is unselfish. His love is unselfish, unchangeable, and untiring.
Yeah.
Having loved his own that were in the world, having loved them unto the end, how's it go? Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Huh? And I want to say something else, and this is probably going to shock some of you deadbeats. I'm closing. You know why I carried on like this morning? His love is not only voluntary, victorious, verbal, and virulent. Vigilant.
I won't say bless your heart. Visible.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
You know why I'm carrying on like this morning? He's saying, look at that fool. I love him, boy.
Amen.
Watch old Hall. Praise God down there carrying on. Cause just because I love him.
Yes.
Amen. Can you comprehend? That a great God.
Yes.
That took the stars and said, stay there.
Yes.
Took the sun and said, ever 24 hours around you go.
Yes.
Set the moon in his socket and said, you're there to hold the oceans in their place.
Yes.
And took dirt. And made a little old man and said, now I'm going to tell you something. I love you. And Brother Wayne, he looked on that and said, I'm going to tell you, little hunk of dirt. You little hunk of dirt, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do just because I love you. And man became a living soul. That he might spend all eternity. Thank you, Brother Jerome. He might spend all eternity with
God.
Amen.
Somebody said, is that where it ends? Oh, no. See, a dog can't communicate with God. Cows and pigs. But that soul is God conscious. It knows there's a God somewhere. But I'm going to tell you what, it don't stop there. He loved us so much, he said, now I'll tell you, he said, I breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, and he's a living soul. But he's got a problem. He sinned and died. I can't come in the garden no more. We can't have a good time like we used to, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I've got a son.
Yeah.
And I'm going to send him into the world to die on the cross in his place.
Yeah.
Now listen now. He's God conscious, but he can't communicate with God. But on September the 13th, 1970, I caught a second breath.
Yes.
And he said, Leah!
Yes.
But I'm going to tell you something. That new life is not soul, it's spirit.
That's right.
Thank you, John.
Yes.
And now in the spirit, I can not only say I know there's a God up there, I can say, Abba, Father.
Amen. Yes.
Abba, Father.
Amen. Yes.
A lot of trouble in the world, Father. I know it, son, but don't worry. I've got you under a big canopy of love.
Yes.
And even if you die, you shall live forever with me.
Yes.
Don't worry about them Bin Laden crowd over there. Don't worry about anthrax, railroad tracks, eight tracks, smallpox, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Uzbekistan. Because you're mine. And by the way, in case you've forgotten, I want to tell you one more time. Love is strong in death.
Amen.
Said that say all this, folks. We're going home to glory.
Amen.
Love,
Amen.
Strong cord.
Yes, my God.
Can you get this now? He's held. The king is held in her galleries.
Amen.
Her.
Amen.
In the church. In the
Amen.
Garden. In the garden.
Amen.
I'm not being critical when I say this, but it just come to my mind. We sang that old song, I Come to the Garden Alone. Well, I guess what they're saying, it is right. I'm wrong. It is right. I started to say we might come to the garden, but we're never there alone.
Amen.
Because he's always there.
Amen.
He's always there. What a gift we have. Love. strong cord. Would you stand with me, please? Any of you get my top coat? If I don't do something, I'll croak up early this evening. Minute, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. I don't know your soul or your heart. I don't know your need, but if you're here lost, God will save you. If you're here lost, God will save you. And I've got to preach again in a few minutes, and folks, my throat draws up tight. And if you're here as God's child, you need to get a hold of that wonderful, wonderful fact that His love is strong as death. God loves you today, folks. If we can ever get a hold of that, just get a hold of that. Solve a whole lot of our problems. My Father, I'm thankful for Your divine presence this morning and for the privilege of preaching the gospel. Thank You for the wonderful love of Christ that You said has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I thank You for Your people that are here. Thank You for our visitors today. I pray, Lord, their hearts were blessed by the service, by the truth of the Word of God. I'd ask You to work in our church that we might understand the love of God, comprehend the length and the breadth and the depth of the love of Christ. I pray for grace this afternoon, power, energy in the body, and power in the soul to preach. Help my voice. May You save sinners, magnify Christ. And we'll thank You for every work of grace that You do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What is that, Brother George? 295. God has spoken to your heart. Get right on out of that pew this morning, out of that chair. Do business with Him if you haven't already. God loves you today. You young people in here, Christ loves you. He died for you. He wants to save you and keep you in His everlasting love and care. Why don't you do business with Him today? Let's sing together. He loves you today. He died for you and rose again. I appreciate the morning hour. It's been a wonderful day in God's house, as far as I'm concerned. It has been Sunday school hour. And I don't know when I ever enjoyed preaching any more than I did this morning. I mean that. Wonderful, wonderful help God let me preach today. I want to praise Him for that. Liberty. I'm talking about liberty in the house of God. Because of His presence. The old preacher used to say, if you'll boast on Him and brag on Him, He'll show up.